Let's turn on our recording and we will get started. So we're going to skip a little bit ahead in the interest of finishing the parak today. And I want to look at the last section. The parak is broken up in different ways. And there's some important things that we're skipping. That's really the truth. But for context, I think that this last section will be important for us to learn these last 8 psukim or so right at the end of the parak so we can move forward next week. Okay. Let's start with Pasuk Chaf Beis. We're in 22:22. So this would be an easy pasuk to remember if it's meaningful. Al tigzal dal ki dal hu ve'al tidake ani bashar. So the Malbim helps us with this pasuk, even though the pasuk stands for itself, is very beautiful. Don't rob the poor because they are poor. And don't crush the poor. Dal and ani are relatively synonymous terms. Ve'al tidake ani bashar. Don't crush poor people at the gate. The Malbim says that the gate here is a reference to the court, right? Remembering that many judicial systems in biblical times happened at the gate of the city. We have many references to that throughout Tanakh. So there's two levels of abusing the poor, which is a theme that we have seen throughout the parak, even though the section is somewhat different. Don't steal from the poor because they're poor, and don't crush the poor in court because they're poor. So the Malbim makes a point here that's just important because we talk so much about poverty in Tanakh and the mitzvah of tzedakah. I thought it was just worth reviewing. The question the Malbim would ask here, theoretically, is you're not allowed to steal from anyone. So why is Shlomo HaMelech telling us we shouldn't steal from the poor? So he says, Hagam sha'ata muzhar milig zol gamis ha'ashir, even though it's forbidden for you to steal from the wealthy, bo ha'ashara mitzad ha'gzela sha'asar ligzol, avo begezla stal, when it comes to stealing from the poor, chutz mima sha'ata muzhar milig zol, there's a special prohibition, or it is especially egregious in nature to pour from someone, to steal from someone who has so little. Right? He can't afford the right representation. He's not going to have a good case against you. Don't mistreat him in court. So isn't it true, says the Malbim, that we shouldn't steal from anybody? Absolutely. The reason the Torah emphasizes stealing from the poor, you know, abusing those whose situation is already less fortunate than your own, you shouldn't abuse anyone. But the point that the Torah is making is that it's doubly painful. Shlomo HaMelech is echoing that, which is something we'll see here in the end of the parak. He's echoing a lot of biblical themes just in his own language. So this is one of them. Stealing is bad. Stealing from the poor is worse. Ki Hashem yariv rivam, pasuk chaf gimel, v'kava es koveihem nafesh. Because Hashem will take up their case and despoil those who despoil their life. And this is also what the Torah tells us. You know, the poor and those less fortunate will cry out to Hashem. We have many different expressions of this in Parshas Mishpatim and elsewhere. Hashem will take up their case because they don't have any leverage, you know, in Olam Hazeh down here on earth. So Hashem takes up their case upstairs in heaven. Sorry. Okay. So that's the first two. Altigzal dalki dalhu Hashem yariv rivam. Beautiful language. Don't steal from the poor. Hashem will take up their case. Chav dal et chav hei. Al tisra es bal af v'es ish chemos lo tavo. Al tisra is resh ayin. It comes from the root of friendship, like a reya. Al tisra es bal af means don't befriend people who have bad tempers. Bal af means someone who is very irritable, gets angry. V'es ish chemos lo tavo, and don't engage with an ish chemos, someone who gets heated, hot-tempered. So the Malbim points out, what's the difference between the two? So his suggestion, we won't read this text inside, but it's there for you on the side of the screen. The Malbim's suggestion is that one of them is a person who reacts quickly, easily offended, and quickly barks back. The other one gets offended, doesn't say anything, but it builds up inside of them over time, and then eventually they just explode. You can debate which one is worse. The Malbim has his own take. Pen ta'alef or chosav. Vilakachta mokesh linafshecha, lest you learn from their ways and find yourself ensnared. I love this pasuk because what I think Shlomo HaMelech is saying here is as follows. You know, the only reason not to be friends with someone who has a bad temper is if they're going to lose their temper on you. Well, what if they don't lose their temper on you? They're nice to you. They're just nasty to everybody else. So what Shlomo HaMelech is saying, don't distance yourself from people with hot tempers because they'll lash out at you. Distance yourself from people with bad tempers because they will rub off on you. Pen ta'alef or chosav, lest you learn from his ways, v'lakachta mokesh l'nafshecha, and you'll find yourself trapped in the same kind of cycle of aggression that the person that you associate with has. So therefore, what Shlomo HaMelech is saying here is don't put yourself with people whose manner of conduct will rub off on you. They're nasty people, they're angry people, they're overreacting, they're hot-tempered. It's going to come off to you the same way. You're going to learn to conduct yourself in the same way they do. Al tehi betoke ekaf be'orvim masa'os. Now, this is a little bit counterintuitive here. Don't be alongside those who give over their hand, who are an orve masos, who stand surety for debts. Now, you would think that this is actually a mitzvah to be an arev. To be an arev is to loan money, is to cosign. Now, I don't want to go through the Zoom and embarrass anybody here, right? But if you've ever been asked to cosign on a loan or to serve in some capacity for others, so yes, you understand that it's a great mitzvah, but you also know that it's very easy to get burned. And then all of a sudden, as the arev, you think you did yourself a mitzvah, and now you find yourself in a very difficult situation when they actually come collecting from you because the person isn't willing or isn't able to pay off their own debt. So why is Shlomo HaMelech telling us not to co-sign for others? You would think it's a big mitzvah to do so. So the next pasuk seems to be the reason. You have to read all these psukim come in pairs. Im ein lecha l'shalim, lama yikach mishkavcha mitachtecha. If you don't have the cash to pay for it, then why or lest your bed be taken from under you? So now the Malbim is going to explain here the halachic argument that the Shlomo HaMelech is making. Here's the line. See the Malbim on the side for Pasuk Chav Zayin. Ratzalomar, ki halove ba'atzmo, im ein lo l'shalim, asur lo likhanas al beiso la'avod avoto. Remember Moshe Rabbeinu teaches us a halacha? You lend money to somebody else and they can't pay it off. You're not allowed to go into their house and take their things. Right? The Torah tells us that you have to wait outside. You have to treat the person you lent the money to with dignity. You know, you can't just, you know, seize all of their property without any kind of restraint. But when it comes to the Arev, he's the co-signer. He's the one who took the responsibility for this loan and guaranteed you that the other person would pay it off. So then when it comes to collecting from him, you don't have to be compassionate. So what Shlomo HaMelech is actually cautioning here is something really interesting. He's not saying we shouldn't loan money, and he's probably not even saying that we shouldn't serve as co-signers for people who need our help so that they can rent a home or take out a mortgage, whatever the case may be. But if you don't have the money, you're putting yourself in a vulnerable position for something you simply cannot handle. So if you can afford it, if you can take the worst case scenario, so then you should be willing to do it. But if you can't, don't just assume the best in everyone and then you become the victim of their negligence. So for those who are interested in the theory and ethics behind these questions of halvaos, of loans, and collateral and cosignage in Jewish thought, so this would be a very good place to start. Why pretend that you are the arev when you're really not capable of paying back the loan? Now, with two psukim left to go in the parak, both of them are incredibly fascinating. Pasuk chavches, al tasei gevul olam asher asu avosecha. Now, this pasuk may ring for you in the same way that it rang very loudly for me. There's a pasuk in Devarim. You can see it because the Malbim quotes it. It's obviously a reference here to that pasuk. Okay, the pasuk in Devarim Yud Tes is Lo sasig givul rishon givul reacha asher gavlu rishonim. So before we get to the text, just appreciate that it's a parallel. Shlomo HaMelech is using different language, but it's exactly the same thing. Lo sasig givul reacha means don't don't overstep the boundaries of your friend, crossing or adjusting the boundaries between your property and the property of your neighbor, asher gavlu rishonim, which our predecessors have already established. Pashup Shah, what Moshe Rabbeinu was talking about here is as follows. Each shevet has its own section in the land of Israel. And the halacha is that the borders were determined and the lands were divided by goral. But obviously, you know, there weren't fences around each shevet. It was easy to manipulate the borders in your own favor. So what Moshe Rabbeinu was telling the people is that there is a unique prohibition not to interfere with the borders between the shvatim of any two given shvatim in the land of Israel. But this beautiful pasuk is also open to a lot of drash. So what is Shlomo HaMelech talking about it here? Al taseh givul olam asher asu avosecha feels like the exact same language as that pasuk, lo taseh givul rishonim, reyecha asher gavlu rishonim. So here it's avosecha, there it's rishonim, there it's givul reyecha, here it's givul olam, but it's basically the same thing. So the Malbim goes as follows. Azhar zuk kvar nemar b'torah lo taseh givul reyecha asher gavlu rishonim b'nachalascha, ulam sham bal hamasik givul reyeh. There it's talking about adjusting the borders between your property and your friend. Shlomo HaMelech is expanding this principle to never adjusting predetermined boundaries, boundaries in a proverbial sense, not in a geographic sense. Any minhagim, any practices that were set up by the previous generations, we should try not to push those boundaries. Kim on minhagim shenhigo rishonim sheyiu leolam shal ze amar gavul olam. When the chachamim, that's what the pasuk means, don't adjust a gavul olam, something that the chachamim instituted for all of the future. V'chein amar bialkud amar rashbi amar isa minhag shasva avasinu al tishana oso. Rav Shimon bar Yochai says if you see a minhag that was established in previous generations, don't change it. Kigon Avram tikin tefila shachris. Avram had the practice of praying to God in the mornings, and we have taken that and established it, codified it as a principle of Jewish practice for all generations. Tamulomar asher asu avosecha. This is referring to practices that existed well before. So this is an interesting interpretation of our pasuk. Many of you are familiar with the concept of hasagas gevul, encroaching in a financial context, which is also a drasha from this pasuk as well. When we talk about hasagas gevul, lo tasig gevul reyecha, it's a drasha on this pasuk, even though the pasuk is talking specifically about encroaching with geographic boundaries, not, you know, overstepping in other people's business. But here it's talking about, or the Malbim's understanding of our pasuk is referring to boundaries and practices that were set up by previous generations. And if minhagim were set in place, their practices that are accepted in the Jewish people, we should try and maintain them. How exactly that fits the context of this parak is admittedly a little mysterious. Okay, last pasuk for the week, last pasuk in the parak. This is a really beautiful and interesting pasuk. Chazisa ish mahir bimlachto. If you see someone who is mahir bimlachto, let's say he is skilled at his work, he is a very talented professional. Lifnei melachim yis yatzav. So he shall be, or he has been, placed in front of kings. What does that mean? It means that the experts in their field get promoted, and they get promoted to work for prestigious people. So you have a tailor who's very talented, and then one day he starts to be the guy who makes suits for the president of the country. Right? You have a jeweler who has a very successful jewelry business, and then they make all the jewelry that everybody wears at the Oscars. Ish mahir bimlachto lifnei melachim yisyatzav. You'll see someone who's very talented. Soon enough, they'll be working in front of the king. Bal yisyatzav lifnei chashukim. And then they will no longer be available to work for chashukim. Here it's translated as obscure men. I would say regular people. Right? Now, this is a truth about the world. Talented people get promoted. They work for celebrities. They work for famous clients. And then you can't afford them. I'll just tell a very quick story, even though we're almost out of our time. My father had a cousin who was a very, very well-respected and talented sofer. And he was a Lubavitcher chassid, and he was the one who wrote the tefillin for the Lubavitcher Rebbe. He was the Lubavitcher Rebbe's personal sofer. My father's first cousin, also a Zirkin. So my father told me once that before my older brother's bar mitzvah, he called his cousin and he said it would be very meaningful to our family if you would be able to make the tefillin for Ellie's bar mitzvah. And without missing a beat, his cousin said, "I'm sorry, you can't afford me." Right? Like, he doesn't make tefillin for regular people anymore. That was just not the case. That's a pasuk shot in this pasuk, which we all relate to. Chazisa ish mahir b'mlachto. You see somebody who's really talented. Soon enough, b'fnei melachim yisyatzav, they'll be working for the king. Bal yisyatzev l'fnei chashukim. You know, they won't be making tefillin for you anytime soon. So what is this proverb? I mean, it's true, right? It's a true statement about life, but what exactly does it mean? What's the purpose? So the Malbim has a beautiful interpretation here. He goes as follows. Even though he's quick at his work, he's still very precise. He has free time. He doesn't work 12 hours a day. He has a cushy job. He's available in the evenings to help other people. Lo yisna save with nechashukim. Achar shenivchar the meleches hamelech lo yashpil ma'alaso la'avod avodas chashukim. Once you make suits for the king, you don't make suits for everybody's bar mitzvah. V'gam ratzolomar shelo yisyasev lefnei chashukim lo yuchal la'amod lefnehem. Ki ha'chashukim lo yavinu meleches hadakus v'ha'umanios ha'niflaos rak meleches hagasos. Nobody appreciates the sophistication of his work. They don't appreciate the detail. They don't get why he's better than everybody else. It's just a suit. What's the difference? This is a beautiful mashal, a beautiful melitza for life. Such a beautiful malbim. He says, our purpose in life is to serve the king. Our purpose in life is to perfect mitzvos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will appreciate. Someone who is diligent and zealous in their mitzvah observance. We don't have time for narishkeit, right? We're so engaged in avodas hamelech. We're so involved in serving Hashem. What, we're going to spend our time doing other things? Our mitzvot, our tzedakah, our tefillah, our Talmud Torah, our religious practice is so much more precious. It's so much more sophisticated. It's so much more spiritual. Somebody out there on the street may not appreciate it at all. But that doesn't mean that we don't appreciate it. We know how valuable our time is. And we wouldn't want to waste it on anything that doesn't deserve our attention. Even though there are people out there that just don't get it, you know, what makes what you're doing any different than anybody else? Everybody goes to church. Everybody prays. Who cares? What's the difference? They don't understand it. But we know that we are lucky enough to be gifted the opportunity to be the kind of person who is Chazisa Ishmahir Bimlachto, Lifnei Melachim Yisyatzav. We're standing before the king, and we should make sure to maximize all of that time so that our mitzvahs are being used and our energies are being used in the best possible way.